Our text is the epistle reading for this day from Romans chapter 3. I read for you again these words. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In short, this is what the Reformation was all about. That people would abide in the living, life-giving word of Christ. That they would know the truth of the gospel, which had been obscured by the errors that had crept into the church. And that this truth would set people free from sin, from slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Indeed, they were enslaved to those and had been laboring under them their whole lives. Luther himself had labored under that slavery. And he wanted, once he had found the freeing gospel of Christ, he spent every effort toward wanting others to know that same freedom that he enjoyed. The whole Reformation was serving that very end. And it meant reforming every area of church life that had been infected by those enslaving errors. It meant bringing the truth to light in every aspect where it had been clouded over. So, where to begin? The Reformation refers to that much-needed reforming of the church undertaken by Martin Luther and his associates in the 1500s. That movement started when Luther, so monumentally important in the history of the church, that now every year on the last Sunday in October, we celebrate Reformation Day. For we Lutherans are the direct beneficiaries of what Luther began. But why the last Sunday in October? Well, because it was on October 31st in 1517 that a young theology professor named Martin Luther posted 95 theses or statements against the sale of indulgences on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. But what Luther wrote there was just the beginning. Over the next several years, in papers and pamphlets, in debates and discussions, Dr. Luther taught and proclaimed the truth of the gospel over against the errors that had crept into the Roman church. Later, when summoned to appear before the emperor in 1521 and pressed to retract what he had written, Luther boldly declared, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." The root error that Luther exposed was the medieval church's notion that our works enter into our being justified before God. And the antidote to that error is the central gospel teaching that we are justified, that is, that we are put right with God, not by anything we do, but rather by what God has done for us in Christ. One of the passages that led Luther to discover this truth was that portion of Romans 3 we read earlier. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, your works, your goodness, your keeping God's law will never be good enough to plead your case before God on Judgment Day. No, you and I all fall short of God's standard of perfect holiness. You and I have sinned. We have broken God's commandments repeatedly. And the judgment for that is death and eternal damnation. Your works will not save you. But God has had mercy on us and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear the load for us. Jesus did keep the law of God perfectly. He always did the right thing and did it as our representative. The one man who got it right all the time on behalf of all humanity. And even more amazingly, Jesus took the punishment our sins deserve, bearing our sins into death on the cross. Jesus shed His holy precious blood as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And thus, God is a just judge when He declares us sinners righteous for Christ's sake. You are forgiven. You are free. You are redeemed from sin and death and are righteous before God by faith in Jesus Christ. Relying on your works won't cut it. Relying on Christ and His works is the only thing that will. Now, this gospel truth that we are righteous before God on account of Christ's redemption alone revolutionized Luther's thinking. It's the truth that set him free. Free from a guilty conscience. From trying to please and placate God and His wrath by His own works. From an uncertain eternal future. And once he discovered it, he wanted everyone else to know it too. And that's what set him on that road to Reformation. And by the early 1520s, it had become pretty clear what reforms in doctrine and practice were needed in the church. And since Luther's writing and teaching were very influential across Northern Europe, many territories and their churches, many pastors and theologians became aligned with this Reformation movement. And yet, when Luther and Melanchthon and their colleagues undertook a visitation of the parishes in their territory, they discovered that the people did not know any Christian doctrine and that they were living like pigs, as though the gospel didn't make any difference in their lives. And that led Luther to write a simple, accessible handbook of the basics of the Christian faith to impress the truths of the gospel on people's hearts and minds. Listen to Luther's own words in the preface to the Small Catechism, where he describes what he found during the visitations. The deplorable, miserable conditions which I recently observed when visiting the parishes have constrained and pressed me to put this catechism of Christian doctrine into this brief, plain, and simple form. How pitiable, so help me God, were the things I saw. The common man, especially in the villages, knows practically nothing of Christian doctrine. And many of the pastors are almost entirely incompetent and unable to teach. Yet, all the people are supposed to be Christians, have been baptized, and receive the Holy Sacrament, even though they do not know the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, or the Ten Commandments, and live like poor animals of the barnyard and pig pen. And thus, Luther's small catechism was designed to remedy or address this sorry state. It was written so that the people would know the truth of the saving gospel of Christ by use of brief, easily remembered questions and answers. The catechism brings home the basics of the Christian faith and impresses them in your heart and mind, ready at hand for you to put them into practice in your life. Now, you may very well have been catechized and confirmed years ago, but you will never outgrow the catechism. There's nobody here who knows the Bible and the Christian faith as well as Dr. Luther. And yet, listen to what he says. I act as a child who is being taught the catechism. Every morning, and whenever I have time, I read and say word for word the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Psalms, and such. I must still read and study them daily. Yet, I cannot master the catechism as I wish. But I must remain a child and pupil of the catechism, and am glad to remain so. The Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, confession, and the Lord's Supper. These are the chief parts of Christian teaching. And there are also daily prayers, the table of duties, and a little exercise to help you prepare to receive the sacrament. And while the words never change, you will change. You will hopefully be maturing in the faith and discovering new truth in these biblical teachings. And you will encounter new situations in your life in which these teachings will speak. So no, you will never outgrow the catechism, for it serves as a roadmap to understanding the Scriptures, and it is your handbook for daily Christian living. Again, beloved, our Lord says in today's Gospel, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this is what catechesis, the teaching of the faith, does. It's a way for you to abide in Jesus' word, to continue in his precious gospel. As you abide in his word, you will grow as Jesus' disciple, as his follower. And through God's word, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, to know deep down the reality of what life is all about. It is about life with God, new life now and eternal life forever, through faith in Christ Jesus. This is the truth that sets you free. It sets you free from sin and death and the power of the devil. It sets you free from being afraid of God's wrath and punishment and trying to please him so that he won't blast you. This word of Christ is liberating, life-giving truth. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so as we celebrate the Reformation, because it boldly declares how we sinners are made righteous before God, how we are justified through the redeeming work of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, so that we do lead a godly life to the praise, honor, and glory of His holy name, even as we look ever forward to living in His presence forever. God grant you the joy of being His Reformation people, righteous and redeemed through Christ alone. To Him be the glory, all the glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.